In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is now the second time through the course of Lent we've had Jesus respond in a way that perhaps makes us uncomfortable. At least it's not in a way in which the world tells us or expects the worldly Jesus, the cultural Jesus, to react and to respond. The cultural Jesus says everybody gets along. The cultural Jesus says everybody is happy. Everybody, there is nothing wrong. He condemns no sin. And everybody is happy to go about the way they wish, as they please. Happy to get along. And a couple Sundays ago, Jesus seemingly rebukes the Canaanite woman by ignoring her, by speaking harshly to her, and seemingly insulting her. And today, Jesus seems to be rather short with this Samaritan woman. Give me a drink. If you knew who was asking you, you'd ask me for a drink. And then go get your husband. Well, that's right, because you don't have a husband. You've had five. And the guy you have now is not your husband. And yet, this woman is not insulted by this. In the same way, the Canaanite woman from 2 weeks ago, she was not put off when Jesus was seemingly rude to her, so this Samaritan woman is not put off when Jesus is seemingly rude to her. Rather, she perceives in him that he is a prophet. And she's not entirely wrong. So then she drops all pretense and asks the question that she's always been wondering. Where is the true place to worship God? Is it on Mount Gerizim in Samaria? Or is it at the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem? Who cares about drink and water and who gave this well and whether you or not you have a bucket? Where is the place to worship God? How do I know that what I'm doing is right? And if what I'm doing is not right, how do I make it right? You who are a prophet and who have perceived and know to tell me the things that I have done, probably of which she is very much ashamed, probably which she does not like publicized. How do I make these things right if they are not right? That is also uncomfortable to us. When the Lord confronts us with our sin, and we have to acknowledge that what we have done, the things we have been doing, are sinful. We ask in the collect this morning that by God's grace, that he would grant us the power to fast from our sin. And it is only by his power. It's not by anything that we can choose or will ourselves into doing. If it were, we wouldn't need to be here. If it were by our own power, we'd very much be like that Pharisee praying in the temple. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And I do all these good things. We would be like that rich young man who contents himself, at least for the time being, if the tradition of the church is correct, who contents himself for the time being to say, I have kept the law perfectly from my youth. What more do I need to do? The Lord confronts us with our sin, that we have not been perfect. That rather than fasting from sin, whether by his power or our own, we have indulged in it. We have become gluttons for sin. We have taken that which God has not given. Even as this woman has taken a man who is not her husband. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What we need is by the power of God to fast from our sin, to turn away from our sin, to repent of our sin. That's what repentance means, to do a complete 180, to turn our back on that sin and to turn towards God. And to say, I want nothing more to do with that old way of life. God, help me. Like we heard a few nights ago in Vespers of that father whose son was possessed by a demon, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And so we cry out for mercy. And the Lord is gracious and merciful. For he is not just a prophet. He is not just one who has come to point out our sin, but rather he, in fact, is the sacrifice for our sin. He is the one who has come to reconcile us to his Father. The woman says, well, I know that when the Messiah comes, he will teach us all things. And Jesus says, and most English translations miss this, as they often do when Jesus speaks this way. If you go home, you look in your Bible, if you look in the Pew Bible, 9 times out of 10, our English translations will, when she says, I know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things, our English translations have Jesus saying simply, I am he, as though he's simply answering in the affirmative, yeah, that's me. I mean, he's doing that, but he's doing more than that. Rather, what he says is, I am. He claims for himself the divine name of God. As God spoke to Moses from the bush, I am. What shall I tell the people is your name? Who shall I tell them sent me? And God says, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you. And so Jesus, when she says the Messiah will tell us all things, Jesus says, I am. Because the Messiah is more than a prophet. The Messiah is God himself. God who spoke to Moses from the bush. God who gave Jacob and his offspring this land and who provided for them. Who provided Jacob an escape from his brother Esau. God who blessed Jacob with the messianic line. God who allowed Jacob to see his beloved Joseph after he thought he was dead, raised up to the right hand of Pharaoh, and through whom all the world was saved. This same God has come now in flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, blood of our blood, to bear our curse in himself, to take upon himself our sins, our ignorance, to take upon himself all those times where we want to be gluttons for sin. All those times where we are zealous for our sin. Whether it's in trying to hide it, whether it's openly enjoying it, whatever the case may be. Jesus comes to suffer for that sin and to pay its penalty to his Father in heaven. And he pours out for us living water. Water that does not leave us thirsty. Water that does not leave us parched. Water that is poured out in violence. Even as Moses was commanded simply to speak to the rock, yet he in his anger and frustration against the people who continually grumbled against the Lord, struck the rock and outpoured water by God's gracious, generous provision. So our Lord Jesus is lifted up and struck in death, that we might receive the gracious and generous and superabundant provision of God in him. The blood and water that he pours out there for us to wash us clean, to inscribe God's holy name upon us, that we may eat the true bread that comes down from heaven and drink the drink which does not run out and which does not leave us thirsty again, but which slakes our thirst unto life everlasting. In him our sins are forgiven. I am, Jesus says. He is God come in the flesh to take this woman's sin upon himself, to take upon himself all the sins of all the Samaritans, of all the Jews, and of all of us who have ever lived or whoever will live until he shall come again in glory on the last day. And he pours out for each and every one living water, pouring from his side to wash us immaculately clean from all the things with which we have defiled ourselves, with which we have made ourselves dirty, with which we have separated ourselves from God. He sets right and he washes clean. Because the true worshipers of the Father are not those who gather on Mount Gerizim or on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Rather, they are those who approach the Father in spirit and in truth. That is to say, to worship the Father is to worship Him in the person of His incarnate Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit has called us to faith in and by and through the Gospel, enlightening and sanctifying us with His gifts, keeping us in Jesus Christ in the one true faith, and kept safe and secure in Jesus Christ, we worship the Father. Spirit and truth isn't some abstract kind of idea of, well, we worship the Father just means that we believe in Jesus and now we can worship the Father, or if our worship is genuine or true, and of course the question is, by whose measure is it genuine or true? No. To worship the Father in spirit and truth is a concrete, fleshly, physical, incarnational reality. That to worship the Father means that He is worshipped in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the Spirit who calls, gathers, and enlightens us by the means of grace. And in such people as those, the Father is well pleased, because we are the ones washed with living water. We are the ones cleansed by living water, bearing in ourselves the holy name of God, which He Himself has inscribed upon us. For our Lord Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, God Himself come in our flesh. He pours out living waters for us, that we may be satisfied and live eternally in Him. In Jesus' name,
Amen.